Well, let's turn back. I need to get rolling here. Isaiah chapter 50 again. Dispelling the darkness. I want to try to get into this just a little bit more tonight. And let's begin reading with verse 5. We're going to back up a little earlier tonight. And I know this is speaking prophetically about Jesus, even back in the Old Testament, but a lot of the things that were said about the Lord are applicable to our lives as well. So this is a prophetic statement here in the first two or three verses here. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be ashamed. You know, we need that same attitude in our life as Christians when it comes to serving the Lord, setting our face like a flint. Determining that regardless of what comes our way, nothing is going to turn us back. Nothing is going to deter us from going forward with the Lord in our life. We have to continually press on. Every one of our lives here tonight is it's an epic story. It's like a large and long-running saga. And we read biographies, but every one of us here have a biography of our own. And God has been writing the biography of our life even before we came into this world. And it's a series of ongoing events in our life. And we have to come to the fulfillment and the, you know, fruition of what God has planned for us. So this was Jesus saying, I've set my face like a flint prophetically, and I know. He said, I know. And this is a key here. Coming to the place that you know. He said, I shall not be confounded. That's a confession. And he said, I know that I shall not be ashamed, or sometimes that is translated put to confusion. And then it says, he is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Now that's a statement that whether you want to say it or not, you might as well say it in your life, because this is going to occur in the life of every believer. Hopefully the justified part will come true in our life as we progress on to the Lord in different areas of our life. We are justified in our salvation and our identity as a child of God the moment we get saved. But how many of you know we have to have areas of our life that's justified or declared in right standing with God after we're saved as we progress on? Because over in James it tells us that Abraham was justified by works when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar. Now I thought we couldn't be justified by works. I thought to be declared righteous, we could only be declared righteous by faith. Well, evidently, the faith precedes the works. Now, you can have religious works without them being works of faith. You can have all kinds of religious works, and they may not necessarily be works of faith. But works, but faith will always lead to religious, or lead to works of faith. They will flow out of faith. And there's a difference between just, you know, doing religious works and keeping rules and so forth and being religious than developing a faith in your heart where God may speak to you, or God may propel you or thrust you forth into a situation that then you are required to have faith. Really, God is the one that is really writing the biography of our life. And so he said, he is near that justifieth me. You have to know that the Lord is near. Who will contend with me? Well, we know. The devil is going to contend with us. Let us stand together. You have to be willing to take on the enemy. I know that, you know, with the times I went through depression, and one time was back when we were at the old church after I'd left Grace here, and y'all know, some of you might remember that dark time in my life. And, you know, a lot of people have mental and emotional issues. And I'm not saying there's not physiological things associated with it. There are sometimes. But you have to determine that you're going to throw down the thoughts that come against your life that would, you know, keep you from being what God would want you to be. You can become a cripple and depend on man all your life, or you can say, I'm going to stand up against these things in the name of Jesus. So, it says, who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Amen? If you stand with God, you will not allow the enemy to condemn you. You're determined to come to a place of right standing. You're determined to come. And if you don't come to a place of right standing, you're always just, you know, beaten around by the enemy. So, this is very important. Lo, they shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall you have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. I'm going to shed my coat here, if y'all don't mind. I want to read okay, Brother Don, you want to lay it down there for me?
Sir.
I want to read a few verses along this. I think a lot of times, you know, we come into church, and this is very important what I want to deal with tonight. And that is that a lot of times we want to get the idea, well, that God is not going to allow us to have situations of difficulty and darkness in our life. But that can be misleading if we do not take the whole of the Bible and put it together in proper understanding. So we were dealing with this last week. I want to go tonight to some reasons that we can walk in darkness that are not because we're in sin, or because that we're doing wrong. And that can be that we're in darkness because sin is going on in our life. But I want to deal with some reasons that we walk in darkness about four things. The Bible says you are a chosen generation. You and I, we're a royal priesthood. Now, we may not always act like it. We're a holy nation. We're peculiar people. That we should show forth the praises of him that hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen? God's called us out of darkness, but there's varying kinds of darkness. When I think about darkness, when we think about darkness, we think about uncertainty. We think about, not being able to see, unsureness. We're just... Darkness in this context is referring to, I don't know what's going on. I don't understand. I'm fearing the Lord. I'm serving the Lord. I'm trying to do everything I can. But I am in a state of uncertainty. And God gives us, of course, the solution that the whole Christian life is this. Learning to fix our mind and our heart upon God and upon Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit when darkness is surrounding us. Now, ultimately, to be justified will bring us out into the light in that particular area. But a lot of times we have to be in a dark situation because the Christian life from beginning to end is a warfare. You and I are in, as someone you said last week, we're in alien territory. We're in a fallen world in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the what? The light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. The devil is trying to keep the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise. in your heart. You see, in any situation of darkness, there has to be an arising of the day star. In any situation of darkness that you're in, you have to see if you're going to have your darkness enlightened on the inside of you. Micah said in chapter 7, verse 8, "Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. Though I fall, I shall yet arise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Amen. So you're going to encounter these areas of darkness as you go along in your life. Now I want to turn and read in Isaiah chapter 62. And keeping in mind this context, if we're fearing the Lord and obeying, seeking to obey the voice of His servant, and yet we're walking in a state of uncertainty, we're in a place in our life maybe at times where we don't know what's going on. And a lot of times you're going to find out this is not just something that's happening to other people. This is the norm for every Christian life. You know, Jesus started off in that stable and a lot of things around Him and Herod, and there was a lot of dark things that were going on around Jesus when He was born. When Jesus started His ministry, the Bible says He was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, I've thought about that verse a lot. It almost sounds like that God was leading Jesus up here into this place for the specific purpose of the devil tempting Him. And I don't believe that's exactly the whole meaning of what that's saying. He was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. There, God knew His Son was going to be tempted by the devil, but God didn't lead Him into the temptation of the devil, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither does He tempt any man, much less His Son. So He was led up into the wilderness. Why did He go into the wilderness? He went and He was led into the wilderness to begin the anointing for His ministry. For His 3 years of ministry that would culminate and consummate in Him going to the cross. And you remember He came to the point of where the cross and the shadow was looming over Him, and He made the statement there, I believe, in Pilate's hall. He said, "This is your hour and the power of darkness." And when they hung Him on that cross for it was all darkness, but especially for 3 hours, there was a consuming darkness that enveloped the entire land between 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was dark for those disciples when He was laid in that tomb. But remember, like Micah said, "Though I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light to me." Well, God the Father turned the light on Jesus, praise God, after 3 days, and He'd come through all the darkness. Hallelujah. So a lot of the things you encounter, and I've got to get this together so I can bring it on here, is that God is doing something a lot of times through the saga, the epic drama of your life playing out step by step and phase by phase. You go through different situations. Some of them are times of wonderful joy and wonderful blessing. But I'm here to say to you, in the development of the Christian life, it can't always be that there's no darkness. I just read in Isaiah, it's a man, if you're obeying the Lord, fearing the Lord, and obeying the voice of His servant, and yet you may be walking in darkness. Now that does not mean the darkness has to consume you, but you're going to feel the darkness. You're going to sense the darkness. What was it Peter said over in 1 Peter? He said, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Manifold temptations. You know, it seems like sometimes as you're developing the Christian life that there comes a time when things just hit you one right after the other. And then Paul talked about standing in the evil day. There's a time that will come in the life of every believer to find out if you will keep standing. To find out if you will stand when all the devil's artillery has been turned loose against you. Or you will simply give up, cave in, throw in the towel, and say it's not worth it all. And that those are things are going to happen to every believer. And we know that the landscape is littered with many that started out that did not keep on. The Bible tells us, you know, God has no pleasure in those who draw back. But the Hebrew writer said, we're not of them that draw back unto perdition or to destruction, but of them which believe to the saving of our soul. I'm determined my soul is going to be whole. I'm determined my soul is going to be healthy. I'm determined my soul is going to have the nourishment of God. I'm determined my soul is going to be lightened and not dark. I'm determined my soul is going to finish this race and finish this war and come out in the final victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in Isaiah 62 it says, for Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake. And this is characteristic of the church, the body of Christ, made up and incorporated or corporated by people, individual people. I will not rest until the righteousness thereof goeth forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burns. We sang something about that a while ago about the fire, burning fire raging within us. And I thought of this verse here. This is what God says. God says, I will not be satisfied. I'm not going to rest. I saved you. I gave you new life. And I'm not going to be satisfied until my righteousness goes forth like brightness in your life. Until my righteousness drives the darkness out of your life. Until my righteousness by faith comes in and dispels and throws down the powers of darkness and the strongholds of hell. And you shine for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. And it may not be the ministry, or it may not be what you thought, but as long as it's what God wants, that's all that matters. As long as it's what God wants, it don't have to be like somebody else. I learned a long time ago that we are not to compare ourselves with others. The Bible said if we do, we're not wise. You know, I guess every young preacher, when I first started out, you can think of yourself, well, I'm going to be a Billy Graham. I'm going to stand before the multitudes. And I didn't get too big at all. Well, I've increased in stature, but I mean, not in height. You can't add a cubit or anything by that, you know, but but praise the Lord. Whatever God wants you to be, that's all that matters. And if you become who God calls you to be, praise the Lord, then you have fulfilled the purpose in the kingdom that He set you in this earth for. But one thing He said, I'm going to bring righteousness into your life. I want to bring it where it shines. I want to bring it into your marriage. I want to bring it into your family. I want to bring it into your kids. I want to bring it into your health. I want to bring it in your mentality. I want to bring it into your emotions. I want my light to shine. I want to bring it into your circumstances. When you're coming into a difficult circumstance, I want you to stand there and believe and trust and keep your eyes fixed on me until that circumstance has no power to pull you down or defeat you or to conquer you in any way whatsoever. Praise the Lord. And He said, and the Gentiles, they will see your righteousness. They'll see it. And all kings, your glory. And you'll be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And when this happens, He said, you shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Hallelujah. That means you're going to be living like a king. You're going to take on a kingly role, kingly authority, kingly attire in the Spirit, and you will rule and you will reign, just like it says in Romans 5:17. They that receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Your righteousness is a gift. Not just the righteousness of being born again. The righteousness of quitting sins. The righteousness of getting right with God. It's a gift. And if you struggle to earn it in the flesh, what only happens? Paul said, I was alive without the law once, but when the law came, sin revived and I died. Now, I'm already working on my next sermon here whenever I get preached down the line. I told y'all last week. And I think I mentioned this last week. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? the sting of death is sin. And we know death in many avenues and many aspects in our life, not just physical death, emotional death, marital death, death, you know, emotional, mental death, you know, pardon me. You know, the sting of death is sin. But then he said an unusual sentence. It said the strength of sin is the law. The thing that makes sin get stronger in your life is when you read God says you shouldn't do it and you start trying to not do it. You see what God said you should do and you start trying to do it. And the more you try to do it, the farther you get from being able a lot of times to do it. Pardon me. And the more you try to stop doing it, it seems like the more harder it gets. But then the next verse says, but thanks be unto God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so I got to hurry here. I want you to see these conditions right quick. Let me turn and read a passage in right quick, Matthew 4, and then we'll maybe put some of these verses up here. This was when Jesus was being brought into the world, Matthew 4. Verse 13. Well, verse 12. When Jesus heard John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Now, this is, again, Jesus in the Old Testament. Here is Jesus fulfilling another Old Testament prophecy of himself. The people which sit in darkness saw great light. Amen. It's rough to be in darkness. I was quoting a while ago, the trial of your faith being, if you're in heaviness through manifold testings, trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, might be found unto praise, glory, and honor at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith is precious. When you're walking through darkness and you're called upon the trust of the Lord, that time is precious. You know, if you're not openly rebelling against the Lord, not being chastened and corrected for sin, if you're seeking to obey the Lord and obey His servant and you fear the Lord, that is a precious time. God is teaching you. God is training you to war. He's training you to win. He's training you to conquer. He's training you in faith. He's training us in faith. The people that sat in darkness saw a great light, and them that sat in the region and shadow of death. There's that death again. To them that sat in the region and shadow of death, light has sprung up. Praise the Lord. So, what are some of the reasons that people, that we as Christians walk in darkness sometimes and we don't understand what's going on? Let's see. What's our next verse, Brother Lee, put up there? We got that one. For my list, let me see what you have next, if you have the next one. Is it Job 29, verse 3. You see that one? Anyway, we have a paradox here. Oh, yeah. This was Job talking about when he had not been going through his difficulties. When his candle shined upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. Now, we know the end of Job was greater than his beginning. Don't mean he didn't suffer. And I'm not saying that we can take the theology of Job and say certainly that everybody should go through all the things Job went through. There's a theological debate about all of these things. And you and I, you know, have to get over the end of the book of Job to understand more about what all is going on here. Job was a good man. The Bible, God himself says that. But there was things still that Job did not understand that he needed to understand. I don't propose to stand here before you and say that just because there's one verse in the early part of Job, that which I greatly feared has come upon me, he feared that his children wouldn't turn out right. It doesn't say that he feared all these other things of destruction. Now, maybe he did live in fear all the time. Any fear that controls you, if you don't drive it out, if you don't overcome the darkness of fear, there will come a time that fear will conquer you. But then in Job chapter 2, verse 3, Jesus said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that he is a just man and he's a perfect man and upright?" And I forget how it says him. Oh, God, it says that Satan moved God against him without a cause. Now, You have to learn how to be able to trust God to put the theology of all those things together. But we know at one time Job was walking on, everything was well, everything was good, he was blessed everywhere, everything was going well, and it all changed. So when you begin to get into darkness, you're going to encounter unchangeable, sometimes, situations. You just can't make things change. You're getting into a situation here, and you don't know what you've done, and it seems like things are not changing. And then the situations can get to where it seems like they're unbearable. You just think, I can't bear this. But what did God say? The Lord will not allow you to be tempted above which you're able, but He will with a temptation make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. How many of you people that love the Lord and trying to serve God in your life, in this church, have ever been in a situation after you got saved that you just thought, I just can't bear this? Am I the only one? Raise your hands if you've ever been there. Amen. How many of you have gotten through quite a few of those situations at this particular point in your life? You bared it. You bored it. Or whatever. You bared it. God brought you. He promised. And you're going to find out one day that it's going to be found to great value and great worth. So many times you're going into unbearable circumstances. You're going into uncharted directions. Do I have John 12, 35 and 36 up there? Let's see. John 12, 35 and 36. It's there. It just hasn't manifested yet. And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Now this is while He was on the earth. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Now that's what darkness is. You don't know where you're going. But I don't know if verse 46 is the other verse I'm looking for that follows up with this or not. John 12, 46. I am come, oh yeah, hallelujah. I am come a light in the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Amen. If you keep believing on me, the darkness is going to begin to give way to light. You keep believing on the Lord, keeping your eyes on God. See, if you talk your problem, if you talk your darkness, don't mean you can't ever tell someone to pray for you or share what you're going through. But if you go around focusing on your darkness, you continue to stay in that darkness. The sooner you can come to a point of total faith and be justified and declared that you're trusting God is greater than this situation, the darkness will begin to subside. And so with this darkness, there comes unimaginable complications. Complication. Oh, wow. That clock says 6:27. No, I mean 7:26. I'm sorry. But let me just write quickly. I don't have time to get in my verses. Let me name to you three or four reasons why we get in darkness that it's not because maybe we're doing wrong. Sometimes it's just that there's what I'm looking for. Uncontrollable manifestations in our life. You begin to try to deal with a sin or a stronghold, and it seems like the more you try to deal with it, the more uncontrollable it gets. And you're in darkness because, you know, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be living this way. I shouldn't have this in my life. But maybe it's a stronghold. Strongholds don't usually leave with one prayer. You have to walk through the darkness of understanding righteousness by faith till you get to the point where Jesus throws that stronghold down. That's uncontrollable manifestation. Sometimes there's unrelenting continuation of these battles. Why? Because Satan is allowed to tempt us. You're in a world of conflict, and I'm in a world of conflict. And we know that every Christian is going to face the confrontation, as I read in Isaiah 50. Come near, come here. We have to get to where we can say, come on, come on, that's okay. I'm going to stand here. He is near that justifieth me. We'll contend together. But I know who's going to come out on top of this situation. God's going to bring me out on top. And you have to get to the place you're not afraid of your enemy. There was times when I went through my battles and I encountered almost insanity, and I was at the point where that panic, I was so fearful of it that any time I felt a bit of it in my belly, in my gut, the panic and the fear began to consume me, and I had to stand there sometimes day after day and sometimes week after week and even occasionally year after year when that panic would begin to try to come again. I had to stand there and say, I will not, because the Bible says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every voice that shall rise against me in judgment, I shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. I had to stand there because I knew it was a demonic thing. I knew pills could not solve my fear. Pills can numb your mind. Pills can help you, but pills can never take your fear away. They can't do it. So that's another reason we get in darkness. God allows Satan to attack us at times just because he wants warriors that can win the battle. Sometimes God is doing undisclosed operations. I would like to have Job 19:8, but Brother Lee, I don't know if you can get down to that. But anyway, if you can find that on the list. God is doing things in your life, sometimes in the darkness, that you have no idea what's going on. But He's God. He has the right. He's God. He decides. And if He is operating His kingdom, He has fenced up my way that I cannot pass, and He has set darkness in my path. Now that's what Job said, and whether that was a true confession or whether that was proper, that's what he was experiencing. That's what he was in right at the time. So if God allows you to be in situations, guess what? When he called Abraham to offer his son Isaac upon the altar, did that make sense? When God called Abraham to go out into a land that he would afterward give him for an inheritance, he went out and dwelt in tents with Isaac, in tents as in a place not knowing where he went. It was a place called the Land of Promise. And the very fact that you and I have to receive by faith what God has for us is saying to us in so many words, this is a faith walk. So therefore, in the natural, many times you're going to be in darkness. In the natural, many times you're going to walk in a way you can't understand. In the natural, I've called you to go into a land of promise. And the only thing you have to stand on is not something you can visualize or see. It's the promise of God. That's the way the Christian life is. And sometimes there's undiscovered considerations. I'm just about through here. Psalm 107, verses 17 through 19. I don't know if we can get that up there, Brother Lee, or not. Psalm 107, verses 17 through 19. He hath fent food. Let's see. That's not the one I'm looking for. That is true, too. Amen. I'm looking for one, maybe it's a little further down. I probably put it down wrong. No, okay, that's okay. The verse says that you brought me into the net. You laid affliction upon our loin, on my loins. It says that you caused men to ride over my head. You led me through fire and through water. But you brought me out into a wealthy place. The valuation of what God will reward you one day for what you have done, and then He will make you a witness. I don't have time to get to a couple of verses that tells where it says, because of what you've been through, God will, and I read the one in Isaiah 62, God will make you a one who can say to the prisoners, come forth. He will make you one who can say, come out. And you'll have authority in those areas. And I want to close with this passage over in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Powerful verse of Scripture. Paul said in verse 3, we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet, because that your faith grows exceedingly. See, God's trying to grow our faith. He wants faith kids, amen? And the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds. God wants our faith and love to overflow. There's no excuse for us not growing in love and faith. so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Watch this. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. God says, unless you're willing to suffer, you can't even be counted worthy for the kingdom of God. You have to go through things, and I have to go through things. Our job is to stay confessed and standing against our sins and trying to overcome them, but if we're seeking to do that and follow the Lord, keep our eyes fixed on Him. He will bring us forth to the light. Let's stand to our feet. Amen.